Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. This is Levi. I have Nate, Travis, and special guest Todd, who's been with us before. We're glad that you're listening to this podcast. This podcast is on disappointment. We all have faced disappointment. Maybe you didn't get a job that you wanted. Maybe somebody that you were dating let you down and they broke up with you and you were disappointed. You thought that was the one for you. Whatever the circumstances, it didn't turn out how you expected. And now you're disappointed or you were disappointed. The reality is we live in a world where disappointment thrives and is a part of what we deal with on a daily basis. In this coronavirus section of our life right now, the reality is most of us will know somebody by now that probably has coronavirus. And maybe some of you know somebody that has passed away from this and there's some disappointment and you've prayed for them and you meditated and you said, hey, we went before God, but it didn't turn out how you wanted it to turn out. Well, the Bible says that you're in good company. All through the scripture, there are people that were disappointed. We have John the Baptist. We have Moses. We have Jacob. We have Naomi. Naomi is one of my favorite stories that in the book of Ruth, where she loses her husband, and then like 10 years later, she loses her son. And at the end of that passage of the first chapter, she says, "Don't call me Naomi," she told them, "call me Mariah, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter." There's just this sense where she's lamenting and really recognizing the grief and the pain that she's in. So we want to talk about this whole idea of disappointment. Maybe you guys can share some stories of when you have been disappointed.
I think disappointment hits all of us. Points in my life that I can think back to, and like Naomi, I guess you could call me hops for the bitterness that I was feeling. But usually those times, they seem dark. They seem lonely. You seem far from God. They're really often times that are a struggle to kind of climb back out of that pit. It takes some work on your part. It takes a lot of reliance on God. It takes a lot of prayer. It takes somebody else usually coming alongside you, or you seeking out somebody else to be able to be that person to kind of help you out of it.
Yeah, as I look back through my life, there are two different kinds of disappointment that I've experienced. One is where later on I could see some good come out of it. But then there's sometimes where disappointment it doesn't make sense. There's stuff that happens and we're like, well, God, it seems this could be used for something else, but even that doesn't happen. And we're just kind of left confused on what God is doing. And so I was just kind of looking through things and looking at what did God promise to us? And he never really promised that our life would be comfortable. He never promised that our life would be free of problems and trials and all that stuff. In fact, he says the opposite. He says that in this life, we will have trouble.
I think that's a good point. You asked the question, what did God promise us? And when I think of the times in my life that I had been very disappointed, I think it was times that I was falling short of what I expected of myself. You know, so maybe there was some moral failing or something that I wanted to accomplish and I didn't do it. Or it was a time that I expected something of somebody else. One of the times I was greatest disappointed was when I lost a girl in my 20s. That sent me into a depression for years. And the other major disappointment in life is when we're disappointed in God. And I think all of those stem from our expectation. Disappointment is that gap between expectation and reality.
That's good. You know, I was thinking back of some times that I have been disappointed. Some of them are a little lighter than others. I remember as a kid, you know, for 3 years in a row, I woke up and I was waiting at Christmas time for there to be a little box on the tree. I really wanted my parents to buy me a snowmobile because that was the form of transportation in Lake Linden back in the day. And I wanted to be like the cool kids and have a snowmobile. And that never came. And I had to overcome that disappointment on Christmas. Yeah, I had other gifts, I had other things there, but there was still this like expectation, this wanting, this hope, this dream that was not fulfilled in that moment. You know, I've had obviously bigger ones than that in life, disappointments of my wife's health. We lost a daughter, those types of things, and really praying and going before the Lord. One of the things that I learned in all of those situations, no matter if it was like not a snowmobile or, you know, my wife's health or whatever, is that in that moment, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to release your disappointment to God in that, to lament, if you will. You know, there's lots of these laments within the scripture. We sometimes, as followers of Jesus, think we're supposed to have like this smile on our face and just go at it. You can't live in the morning, but it's okay to have this moment of mourning and to live in that disappointment. And then you make a decision, I think, to move past that disappointment.
Yeah, that reminds me of the story about David and Bathsheba. David obviously has this moral failure. He falls short of his expectations with God, and he does some really bad things out of that. The thing that I am always stricken with hope with is that even when our expectations aren't met on our side, when we come to a point of moral failure before God, God's always there. He's always with us in that. Usually, when I look back on my life, especially the times that I feel the most disappointed, it hasn't been God that's left. It's been me that has kind of turned my back and walked away from the Lord. And so seeing stuff in scripture like David's story, like the story of Moses, it gives me hope within that disappointment. And I do think it's a good point that you guys made that it is okay to grieve, but we have to put our hope where our hope needs to go, and that's in Christ alone. And we can't sit there forever, right?
Yeah, I think you can't sit there forever. Otherwise, I think you live and wallow in kind of that disappointment. I think the other thing that when you're walking through that process, what do you do with disappointment? I think you have to evaluate, what were my expectations? Sometimes they're unrealistic expectations. Like, they were just not expectations that were shared by the other person. Like in your case, Todd, with the girl that left you, I think we all had girls that left us. You're not the only one. But I think in those moments you're evaluating, like you had some expectations that weren't met, and were those fair expectations? And where does God play into those expectations? And should he have done those types of things for you? Should he have gotten you a snowmobile for Christmas? I don't know.
You'll get a scooter. I don't. Yeah, maybe I will make it up to you in that way.
Sometimes I think,
go ahead, Todd.
Yeah. Sometimes there's unmet expectations, and I think it is a very good thing to evaluate if those expectations are fair. That is a very good thing. Another thing we need to understand is that we are not called as Christians to lower our expectations. And that's part of the Buddhist philosophy, is to lower your expectation, you know, obtain happiness in life by expecting nothing, void yourself of any desire. And that's not the Christian way. That's not what Christ teaches us. The thing that we do as Christians is to shift our expectations. We maintain high expectations, but we shift those expectations to higher things, to things of God, you know, and ultimately to eternal life. But it's not all about eternal life. Part of it is living eternally here. Levi, you've got some great points on this when you talked about life of living, is we're meant to have a full life here. Part of having a full life here is to be honest with people, to be able to talk to them about what your expectations are, talk to them maybe about, you know, well, maybe there's an opportunity for growth in a personal relationship you have with somebody else.
I think that's a great, calling out the expectations is a great point, because how often do I find myself having expectations that are probably apart from God's expectations? Is what I'm really hopeful for, what I'm really desiring within the situation that I'm in, matching up with what God's desire is for me as a son of Jesus? And a lot of the times when we walk through those major disappointments, I can look back and see hindsight, they weren't there. It was usually a selfish ambition or motivation, like the girl that, you know, we all went through, of that person that we thought, maybe this is the one, and I had expectations in that, and God was saying, no, it's not the one.
Yeah, I think that there is some, you know, there are these things that we have, and we can look at ourselves and kind of internalize some of that disappointment and ask some of those evaluation questions of ourselves. But then there's other times where we don't do anything. There, I've got a buddy who, I mean, he didn't want a divorce. He tried to do everything he could, and yet divorce still came. And the disappointment and the disillusionment that he went through in those moments, sometimes I go, well, how do you deal with that? What does that look like? And when you're entering into something, it's not him in the sense, yeah, he would say, I wasn't always the best husband. I could have done things different. I'm not saying it was all her fault, but he never really actually wanted the divorce chunk of it. And it radically changed his life. I mean, he had kids and like how they operated, all of those things radically changed his life. And so how do you deal with that type of disappointment where you really don't have any control over it? And it's really maybe someone else's, in this case, it was the other person saying, no, I just don't want this relationship anymore. How do you deal with that?
I was thinking through that, Levi, a little bit. And I think one thing that's really helpful is to recognize that we all have disappointments. Even God has disappointments with his people. God has disappointments in one very particular verse where he says he's patient with us. So wanting no one to perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. Well, we know not everyone's going to come to repentance. And so God's desire there is not going to be fulfilled. He's disappointed, I'm sure, in that. And so a part of it is recognizing disappointment as part of everyone's existence. And another verse that I think was really helpful is found in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It's the idea of cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God says, hey, come to me. Come to me. I want to hear it.
I feel comforting, though, when you're, you know, the marriage bed is broken. And, you know, there's verses out there that are like that. But I, you know, sometimes we church the crud out of these things. You know, give thanks in all circumstances. Man, sometimes, I don't know. Like, I don't know. How do you do that? What does that look like? If I'm honest and being real on this thing, I don't always know how to deal with some of that disappointment other than recognizing who we are in God, recognizing that we're a blood-bought son and daughter in Christ. But other than that, like, it is really difficult in those times to walk through the disappointment, the disillusionment, and also just like the depression and the defeat that sometimes is there, which I think is a tool of Satan in this thing. We have these verses that we hold to, but how do you practically actually embrace those things? That's where sometimes it gets hard for me.
I'd say like casting our cares or anxiety on him looks like not us just taking our anxiety and putting it at his feet and letting it go. I think that means having these real conversations with God and saying, God, I'm disappointed with you, or I don't understand what's going on. Having just this real blatant conversation where we just say, God, I don't know what to do here. And I think that's what it means to cast our cares, and God can take it. And I think he wants to hear from us. He wants to know, he wants us to emote in that way to him. And I think that's what it means is to start that. And it's really kind of this mourning process, right? To recognize and to share that and to verbalize that and to understand God's willing to hear. God wants to hear it because he cares for us. Not that it's going to go away. Not that we can just will our disappointment to be put on the shoulders of God and left on the cross or something like that. But that we can emote to him, recognizing that he cares for us and he's willing to listen to our hurt and our pain.
The beauty of what God does too is he gives us people. He's equipped people with things. I went through a really dark period in college. I suffered through some depression, and it was a multitude of things that led up to that point. But I ended up seeing a counselor for a time, and that helped. I mean, it was not something that I was really proud to admit at the time, but I needed help. I needed somebody aside from just sitting in reading my Bible and praying to God. God was like, you know what? This is a point that it's not you neglecting me or putting me aside, but I've placed people that have studied these things. I have placed people that have knowledge and wisdom about this stuff that's bigger and greater than you. And it's okay to get help.
Yeah, we need to talk to each other. And that is the way that we work through these things. And I'm really glad that you had said what you had said, Levi. You were talking about how we can church the crud out of it. That's a really good point, that sometimes we have this tendency as Christians to want to put on our, well, maybe a way to say it is, we think that we can just take this Jesus pill and all of our problems go away. But that is not what Scripture teaches us. Scripture teaches us that suffering is part of life. Disappointment is part of life. It's something we can expect. The only thing that we can expect, that we can hope for without disappointment, is this eternity with God. Paul said in Romans, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. So we can expect that we have suffering. And to the extent that God is working through suffering to build our character, doesn't dismiss that it sucks. Mm-hmm. Suffering sucks. Disappointment sucks. Mm-hmm. Part of the way that God builds character, part of the mechanism he uses to build us up, is through other people, through the conversations we have with other people. And I remember when I was first diagnosed with ALS, I was a little bit private about it. For one thing, I was hoping that the doctors were wrong, and I was kind of waiting for a second opinion to say that the first was wrong. But once I accepted that I had the disease, I kind of held my, you know, held it to a close-knit group of people. But eventually I talked to more people about it. And as I talked about it, and as I was more open about it, it really put it in perspective to understand that I was diagnosed with a horrible disease. But a lot of other people have problems too. And as I was more open about it, I started having people come into my office at work and tell me about issues that they were having with their health or with their marriage. And it ended up being like this opportunity to suffer with people, to build compassion. And I love that word compassion, because compassion is a word that comes from the Latin words with and suffering. So when we have compassion, it's that we suffer with people. And I know it doesn't make the suffering better, but at least it helps us gain perspective on it.
That's good. Hey, I just got some disappointing news that you guys will want to know. Fox News just told me that the Indy 500 was postponed. Nate, I know you'll be in tears over that from your heritage of West Virginia.
NASCAR Willie.
So fast.
Yeah, that was probably not the best lead-in after your Todd's serious moment there, Todd. That's good stuff. Yeah, I think that there are times where it's okay for people to be angry. It's okay for people to be mad. And we have this expectation, and I hate it in the church, that like if there's something horrible happening, we often think like, well, those people, well, they should just be joyous because Jesus. And the reality is it's painful and it's hurtful and it's disappointing. And at times they're mad at God and they're mad at the situation. And how do we... Like, I love what you said, like just coming alongside and suffering with them, not trying to fix it, but suffering with them. I love that perspective, Todd. And I think that is a really helpful way to think about like this idea of disappointment and this idea of walking with people in those things. It is just letting them somewhat be who they are in that moment and allowing them to talk and allowing them to share and allowing them to communicate just the emotions that they have in those moments.
I think that's the beauty of the church family. When you're part of that faith community, I'm reminded of Job. Job lost everything he had, right? And he's there disappointed. He's got people around him. They weren't always the best advice givers, but he didn't just sit by himself. He had friends that came around him. And that, for me, was what actually helped pull me out of my depression and get me through the tough patch that I was going through. It was knowing that people that I had around me, the core group that I had, were not going to try to fix my problems. They weren't going to just say, suck it up, pull up your big boy pants on now, and let's make it through this. They were there to listen. They were there to mourn with me, to cry with me, to commiserate with me some of that stuff, but they were also there to encourage me. And just having people that loved me and I knew loved Jesus and wanted what was best for me was really, really a blessing to help get me through that. It was some of the best medicine that I've had.
I was thinking about, how do we help somebody who's just like a Debbie Downer? Like, everything is bad. And it doesn't matter. Like, you know, the sun came up today and, oh man, I was hoping it was going to be a rainy day instead and I could stay in the house or whatever. And so how do you speak into those people where, like, the disappointment isn't maybe as severe as a disease or severe as a losing of a partner, but it's something just like it's a part of their personality. How do you encourage them, and what does that look like to help the Debbie Downers of the world? Nobody has any thoughts on that.
That's a tough one, man.
I mean, there's a verse that says, rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. And so reminding people, you know, we should be looking for things that we're thanking God for and praising him for, and not cheapening those things by taking a poor slant on it and making everything bad and horrible.
When we talk about being with people or suffering with them, that doesn't mean that we're silent and that we're always, I guess, affirming their attitude. Mm. You know, part of what we do as Christians is to encourage people. And I think of a time when John the Baptist was very disappointed. John the Baptist he went before Jesus. He was making a path for the Messiah, letting people know that there will be one that comes after him, whose sandals he wouldn't be worthy of tying. So he understood that there was the Messiah that was going to come after him, and he had huge expectation of what that Messiah would do and who he would be in an earthly sense. And he might not have fully understood the spiritual significance of what Jesus was. So here John the Baptist is, working hard, doing God's work, and then he ends up in prison, and he's so disappointed. And I don't have the scripture in front of me, so I might not get this quite right, but he basically asked his people to go off and ask Jesus, are you the one I was expecting? Mm-hmm. And Jesus replied, sent the people back and told them, people are being healed and other good stuff is happening. This, I'm not a chapter and verse kind of reciter in scripture, but you can find that. Levi, do you know where
the lame are walking, the blind are seeing? He comes back and he quotes like the Isaiah passage back to him. Yeah, he basically just affirms not only from the Old Testament, but also what's actually literally happening through the work and the miracles that Jesus is doing at that time.
Yeah, he spoke truth, right? Mm-hmm. So he wasn't just saying, oh, yes, yeah, I know you're disappointed. That's part of life. Suffering is part of life. Yeah, I'm right here with you. I'm sure he was there with him. I'm sure he was compassionate, but he was also speaking truth.
I'm recalling this article I read about how we first respond and understanding where people are at, I think the level of where they're at, but unlike the Debbie Downer type of a side, like when that person is there, or he could be Daniel Downer, Downer. It doesn't have to be a woman, I guess. How you first respond actually changes the focus of the conversation. And so if you said, you know, they say, you know, life is hard, blah, 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 the sun came up, and you said, you know what, this is what I'm doing right now. This is a great time that I'm having. And there's a movement toward the positive. Most conversations will change in that moment. So one of the things is, you know, there's sometimes where we how do you say that word?
Commiserate.
Thank you. And there are other times where we just kind of push in with some positive thoughts and what's actually going on, the joy that's happening in us, or the positive things that are happening, and we give that away in a sense. And it changes the course of the conversation. There are other times, I think what Todd was talking about, you come alongside, you lament, you come with them, you have compassion, you speak truth, but you're there with them in the midst of the suffering. So there's a lot of things that we can do when people are disappointed or when we're disappointed in these things. Overall, though, disappointment's a part of this world. And that's the reality of this. And so as we kind of wrap up for today, I just want to encourage you that in the midst of this time that we have, enjoy your families. If you have kids, play with them some more. I've been really enjoying just doing those types of things and the downtime that we have. This will cease at some point and we'll be able to get back out and whatnot. But enjoy what we have right now. There may be some disappointments. There may be some of your loved ones that are sick. And you know what? We earnestly go before God for them. As we walk through disappointment together, I think we're always better together.
Well, that's all we got for you on this edition of Pearls and Swine. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You want to email us, it's travis@evangelup.org or levi@evangelup.org or nate@evangelup.org, whatever you would like. Again, thanks for listening.